for the September 17th meeting of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board. If you would, please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Irene. Would you please call the roll?
Yes. Mr. Smith.
Here.
Mr. Albano.
Here.
Ms. Shank.
Here.
Mr. Lemon.
Here.
Mr. Hilton.
Here.
Ms. Nicholson.
Here.
Mr. Ferguson.
Here.
Mr. Gross is excused, and Mr. Whitson said he would arrive late. So, Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you. First item on our agenda is minutes of three meetings, the July 17th business meeting, the July 17th special workshop, and the August 14th special workshop. Are there any questions or comments? Is there a motion to approve all three?
I'll make a motion.
Go ahead.
Okay, we have
the meeting minutes.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
All right. Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Hilton.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Shank.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
The motion carries for approval of all three board meetings.
We move on to item two, subdivision master plan, Matanzas Park, application 5704. Mr. Tyner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, everybody. Ray Tyner, Deputy Chief Development Officer for Community Development. Estelle Lenz, our senior planner, will have the presentation for this subdivision master plan. And just to remind you that part of this subdivision process is a three application step. The first step in the process is what we call a subdivision master plan. This is what the planning board is required, I guess, to make a to approve or deny the application based on our land development code standards. Then once the subdivision master plan, if approved, will go on to do what they call a subdivision preliminary plat. And a preliminary plat is where you have all your engineering, your technical designs, all your engineering standards, you know, the utilities, all the infrastructure, the roads, pretty much all your horizontal work. And then once that's approved at a staff administration level, then they're on to the final plat. And then the final plat would be the third step in the process. And then that would be approved by City Council. This Matanzas Park subdivision master plan, there's kind of a good story related to this, and you'll see when Estelle does the presentation. But this is one, I think a lot of people don't know the history when we rezoned our first citywide rezoning in 2008. When we of our city's land development code, our zoning map, you know, we inherited from the county. So a lot of these properties, IT&T called them future development districts, and they weren't previously platted like a lot of the 42,000 platted lots in Palm Coast are. But what's kind of unique about this one is when it came over from the county, you know, there's property rights, so we had to designate it equivalent to what it was zoned for the county, and that was to be able to have multifamily development. So City Council, the Planning Board heard this, along with other properties in the area, because literally you have houses in your backyard, was rezoned to single family residential, a lot of these, and this is one of those. So I just wanted to mention that prior to Estelle's presentation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's see, is this working? That's better. Hi, good evening, members of the board. Estelle, Planning Department. As Mr. Tyner said, this is the subdivision master plan for Matanzas Park.
And this project is a 28-acre site. It's located about a half a mile northwest of the intersection between Matanzas Woods Parkway and Lakeview Boulevard. As Mr. Tyner said, it went through a rezoning in 2023. This board approved the rezoning request in March from multifamily residential to single-family residential, and then City Council approved the rezoning request on June 6th of last year. The applicant is proposing 104 lots. The zoning is SFR1, single-family residential. The minimum standards are 50 feet wide and 6,000 square feet in lot area, and they also will be providing an amenity center for the residents. The future land use map designation of the project is residential, and it's surrounded by residential flume land use. The zoning of the project is single family residential 1, SFR 1, and it's surrounded by single family residential. SFR 3 is kind of the lighter mustard color, and the kind of the rust pumpkin color is SFR 2 zone parcels. There's a little bit of grandfathered in multifamily that have single family homes on them, the two darker brown ones. And it's surrounded by single family. The project will meet the site development requirements for SFR1 zoning, which is a minimum 6,000 square foot lots, 75% maximum impervious surface ratio. They're proposing 55.18. Maximum building height is 35 feet. They'll meet the setbacks, front 20 feet, side 5, and rear 10. If it's facing a street in the rear of the side, it would be 15. Buffers against the residential adjacent land uses and zoning are not required. The applicant is preserving trees along the perimeter of the project, and they'll be landscaping the entrances and the amenity area. This is the subdivision master plan for the project. Again, they're proposing 104 single-family residential lots. They'll be meeting the a recreational level of service requirements with the amenity center, and they're also providing a path around the pond with a gazebo for the residents. The following slides will be the 5 review criteria from Section 2.05.05 from the Land Development Code, and this criteria must be met by all projects that will receive a development order. A, must not be in conflict or contrary to the public interest. The SFR1 zoning is allowed in the proposed residential area on the future land use map, and it will be compatible with the other uses that are allowed on neighboring lands. Must be consistent with the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan. The project meets 4 goals, policies, or objectives of the Comprehensive Plan as outlined in the staff report and will need to meet the Land Development Code. C, must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship on the city. The public facilities such as water and sewer are available adjacent to the site, and any extensions will be at the developer's expense. D, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance. The findings are that this subdivision master plan will be compatible with the overall neighborhood as it is located within a residential neighborhood and it's in the midst of other single family homes. D, continued, it won't create a nuisance. The traffic impact study by Alliant Engineering, which is based on senior adult housing. This differs a little bit from the staff report because my predecessor actually looked at the ITT trip generation manual and based the trips that were being generated just on single family residential. However, I did confirm with the engineer that it's going to be an age-restricted community. It's 55 plus. So the traffic impact study that was included as an attachment with the staff reports provides that this development will generate 448 total daily trips, 35 a.m. peak hour trips, and 41 p.m. peak hour trips, and that no turn lanes, mitigation efforts, nor improvements are needed with the proposed development. And, of course, this will be further analyzed with the preliminary plat. E, must comply with all applicable government standards. The project will need to meet all applicable local, state, and federal development requirements. The environmental report provides that this project is impacting approximately 11.02 acres of wetlands. The applicant proposes to purchase credits from a mitigation bank to offset the impacts. This system, developed by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection, assesses the value of the wetlands, the required mitigation, and ensures that any lost wetland functions due to the development are offset by restoring, enhancing, or preserving other wetland areas. And the report also states that no gopher tortoises or other protected species were observed on this site. And the following slides will have the Land Development Code Section 2.10.04, and this is the criteria for approval of a master plan. A is logic of design. The site plan has been conceptually reviewed and found to meet the general standards of the Land Development Code. As an example, the conceptual plan depicts the appropriate lot sizes and dimensions, the appropriate locations and capacity of stormwater and drainage facilities, utilities, including a lift station, roadways, sidewalks, and amenities. B, internal consistency. The single-family homes will be reviewed by individual permit for compliance and consistency with all applicable Land Development Code requirements, including consistency with the city's architecture and landscaping codes. C, impact on neighboring sites. The proposed single-family residential community, which will be a minimum 55-foot wide lots, will be much more compatible with the surrounding neighborhood than what could have been developed under the previous multifamily zoning. The new community will be a positive addition to the L section. D, internal vehicular and pedestrian connectivity. Internal sidewalks will be provided to serve pedestrians within the community. The sidewalks stop at the project's access points onto Longfellow Drive, as that roadway has no sidewalk facilities. This project meets the access requirements of two access points onto a public right-of-way, both which will be onto Longfellow Drive. E, consolidation of utilities and facilities, including stormwater parking, signage, etc. The applicant will be responsible for the development of on-site infrastructure, including utilities, a lift station, and the location of stormwater facilities. These will be reviewed in further detail with the preliminary plat. Signage will be reviewed and approved by separate permit. However, subdivisions are allowed an entrance monument sign, which must be set back a minimum of 10 feet from the public right-of-way and be appropriately landscaped. F, some of the public benefits of the project is this project will provide numerous jobs during construction, as well as long-term employment in maintenance and landscaping. It will provide alternative housing opportunities. The SFR1 lots are smaller than the typical SFR2 and SFR3 lots. It will provide housing within a planned community with sidewalks and an amenity center. And the additional rooftops will encourage commercial services in North Palm Coast. In summary, after review and evaluation of the proposed project for conformance with the requirements of the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan, staff finds that the proposed subdivision master plan complies with all such requirements. Planning staff wants to emphasize that this is only a conceptual approval of the overall project. Technical requirements related to environmental, engineering standards, stormwater drainage, utility infrastructure, and other site-specific considerations will be further reviewed and addressed during the preliminary plat approval process in accordance with the Land Development Code and other applicable regulations. Regarding public participation, a neighborhood meeting was held on this project during the rezoning process from MFR1 to SFR2, and the Land Development Code does not require an additional neighborhood meeting. The next steps, as Mr. Tyner mentioned, would be a preliminary plat, which would be submitted with the construction plans, and they receive administrative approval. And following that would be the final plat that has staff review and then approval by City Council. Planning staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find the project in compliance with the Comprehensive Plan and the Land Development Code and approve the Subdivision Master Plan for Matanzas Park, application number 5704, subject to the following condition. All liens must be satisfied prior to submittal of the preliminary plat. The title work showed several utility liens on it. I believe they're just stormwater fees that need to be paid, and so that's the one condition for approval. And the applicant is present to answer questions.
Thank you, Estelle. Mm-hmm. Would you state your name and address for the record, please?
My name is Adam Ostman. I'm at Alliant Engineering. We're located at 10475 Fortune Parkway, and I'll be answering any questions you have regarding this development.
I have a question. It's about the pond. How does the pond fill and drain? If it's not going to do that, it's going to go stagnant.
Well, it's filled by, you know, obviously the stormwater draining to the pond, and it's discharging through a pipe. It goes through, there's a existing PSP zone, it's owned by City of Palm Coast, adjacent to it, right above the Longfellow Drive there, where you can see, if you can move the cursor down left a little bit. Down left.
Down left.
Sorry. Right. Here, this is currently owned by City of Palm Coast. There's a drainage easement over it, and that's where drainage will be going to the city ditch and across Longfellow Drive and then further south.
So that's been accommodated.
Yes.
That's been accommodated.
Correct.
Okay.
Any other questions? I have one. This is an active adult or senior community. Are you going to have like? Is the HOA going to do yard maintenance and all that for everybody?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
What is the overall size? How many acres is this particular piece of land?
It's, I believe it's like 26 or 28 acres.
26.
Somewhere around there.
So are the 11 acres of wetlands, is that primarily where the pond is going?
Correct. It's more or less in the middle of the site.
Okay.
And these, the surrounding lots are supposedly graded A, but I think a lot of them drain toward this site, which kind of is creating a wetland. That's been kind of over the years, I think that's the reason why the wetland's so big there, and it's just kind of a pocket. And now we're holding all that water in the post-development and releasing it slowly over over time. But that's how we're mitigating that.
I just want to add that the wetlands themselves are lower quality wetland systems that Dylan, our environmental planner, will assess when the application comes in. So they're isolated systems, and St. John's River Water Management District would take the authority of regulating those.
So with the flooding that occurs along, I believe it's London Drive has issues with flooding, is that correct? How will this development and the loss of those wetlands impact that further? Or will you be doing something as a part of, will the developer be doing something to help alleviate that problem that currently exists?
So in post-development, the site is actually holding more in the larger storm events, such as a 50 or 100-year storm. We're also providing swales around the development to convey any water that might be going onto our site that goes, and it goes further to the ditches along Longfellow Drive. But if you talk about flooding on London Drive, I don't really have an answer for that.
You don't know if London Drive was contributing drainage to this particular basin?
The only thing that would be contributing would be the back of the lots along London Drive, but it wouldn't be draining.
Lots? Okay. They would have to take that into account. If it drains in there now, they would have to calculate that in their overall pond.
So, you know, one of the issues that we have now is with the infill lots being raised and the existing lots, homeowners complaining about the drainage onto their property because the infill lots. So what is the elevation going to be on with this? What are we going to do to ensure that that's not an issue, though, with this development and contributing to the flooding problems in that area?
I'll let the engineer answer that.
So, as I mentioned, there's a swale around the development that any water that will be draining onto the property is going to be conveyed to the city ditches surrounding that's flowing from off-site.
Well, I know this is not final design. This is not, you know, you're not into that level yet.
Correct.
I think what we're hearing here is make sure that you accommodate that. If there's a problem there now, you will be blamed for it being worse, no matter whether you are to blame or not. So be careful and make sure that you have capacity in your system to accommodate that.
Noted.
And I will say, just to add to it, you're absolutely right, Mr. Smith. A lot of those details in the preliminary plat stage, they're going to have to provide all their calculations and requirements for that, because we are the city, especially with new subdivisions and abutting existing single family lots, we look at that very, very carefully. We have Dennis Leap, who is our engineer, who looks at every single grade that happens. Our stormwater division will also look at this. Carmelo, he's an engineer as well in our stormwater, and make sure that this happens. As a matter of fact, you know, when we did have some sites where a newer subdivision where we did see some issues where the water was kind of collecting, you know, that field work, we are asking for any modifications that would happen during construction, even if we see something that we might not see on paper, to make sure that those are addressed.
So it was noted that this project will have sidewalks, is that right?
Correct.
And is it curb and gutter or swale system?
It's curb and gutter. Yep.
All right, thank you.
I just want to add to that, all of our new subdivisions are required by our land development code to be curb and gutter. We're done with the swale business.
Yeah, right? I don't remember the last one that got built with a swale a long time ago.
Prior to our code, yeah.
I have one last question. Has capacity already been reserved for this development for wastewater?
That's going to go through during the preliminary plat process. I do not know. Did y'all finalize? It's usually a little bit early in the stage of the subdivision master plan. Typically, during the engineering, they have to have a utility agreement with our utility for wastewater and potable water. This is a little bit early in that stage, but they would be required to have that in the future, yes.
And I understand why you're asking that, too, because there are some capacity problems. Mm-hmm. But yep. The north end, because of the plant that's off US-1, is in far better shape. It's currently being expanded now, so I don't think those issues exist up here at all.
Well, it's just something that you might want to make sure of, because that could impact your ability to proceed.
Yep. Thank you.
Any other questions of the applicant or staff? Thank you. This is a public hearing, so any member of the public that wishes to address the board on this project, please come forward, state your name and address for the record. You would have 3 minutes. Seeing nobody, we will close the public hearing and come back to the board for any final questions or a motion.
Yes, I'll make a motion that we recommend that we find the project in compliance with the Comprehensive Plan and Land Development Code and approve the Subdivision Master Plan for Matanzas Park, application number 5704. With the condition that all liens must be satisfied prior to the submittal of the preliminary plat.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Right, there's a motion and a second.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, if I could recognize. Sure. Before we all vote, now there's been a motion and a second. Can we open it up for public comment one more time?
One more time?
Yes, sir.
Sure. All right, we'll open it for public comment. If you wish to address the board on this subject, come forward, state your name and address for the record.
Jared Trueheart. 3 Zephyr Lily Trail, Palm Coast, 32164. I have a question. When it talks about the traffic and the 448 trips and the peak trips, AM and PM, where exactly is that, where exactly are those trips?
Hey, go ahead and finish your whatever comments or questions you have, and then we'll get you an answer.
My follow-up question is then, what is the traffic impact on Palm Coast Parkway, the US-1, Belterre, and if that's not known, is it normally known? And if it's not normally known, can we make it known? because all future developments, travelers go across three main streets, Belterre, Palm Coast Parkway, and US 1.
Thank you. Any other questions? Let's get any other public comment first. Any other member of the public wish to address the board on this? Okay, we're going to close the public comment, and then we'll come back and get you an answer. So, Estelle, Ray, who wants to answer that?
Do I need to state my name again?
No, you've already done that.
The 400 or so trips is based on like a national standard of trip generation based on your use, and it's single family and a single family adult, so it's a little bit less than regular single family because they don't, in general, seniors don't travel as much. Per the requirements from city requirements, this was a minor study, so we analyzed intersections nearby, such as Longfellow Drive, and I know two or three intersections up, and find that our development didn't impact them worse than they were already. And I know that we have multiple subdivisions we've done in the area too, and I know that there are some intersections that are currently failing, as I know, but it doesn't seem, or we haven't found that our development is impacting that any worse than it already is. That's my point.
Mr. Chairman, could I try to address a little bit more of the citizen's comment? Because I don't think that was addressed, because he specifically mentioned some of our major corridors like Palm Coast Parkway. For specific developments such as this, smaller development, there's a radius that determines, and they use the ITE manual to determine what their trips are and for those local roads. And some of these studies may not reach all of our major corridors. However, we're required every year by our comprehensive plan, we analyze every single major corridor roadway in the city of Palm Coast, and we look at what those trips are, and we calculate what those trips are, and we have a spreadsheet so we can better manage our transportation network, including Palm Coast Parkway, State Road 100. And as a matter of fact, we just got done, as you all know, we got done with our comprehensive plan process, and part of that process of updating our comp plan in 2050 is we recently modeled the entire city to look at what the transportation needs will be in the year 2050 so we can better manage and have capital so we can plan ahead of time of the improvement of the roadway. So hopefully that helps to answer the question.
And I can tell you there's a traffic impact study included in our package, and in there it's got the number of added trips to certain roadways, so you can always request that as public information.
Along those lines, it's related to the topic of that proposed traffic light at the interstate exit at Matanzas Woods. Is there any current knowledge about when that light, I know it's the county or the state. It's not Palm Coast responsibility.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry. I don't know the date.
It's a dangerous intersection.
Yeah.
Those are a little tricky.
I'm sorry.
It's a little tricky coming off the interstate there at Matanzas.
I mean, people flying across.
And it's hard to see.
Yeah, it is.
Hard to see. Is that still a county road, that section of Matanzas?
I don't think so.
I know it was.
It was.
But I don't.
Yeah, I think it's city now.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Hopefully that helped. No. Hopefully that helped. But if you want a copy of the traffic study, just request one.
And I'll be happy to talk to you after the meeting if you need some more information.
So I think we had a motion and a second.
Mm-hmm. You do.
So Irene, would you call the roll?
Mr. Hilton.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Shank.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
The motion carries 7-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to item 3, Subdivision Master Plan Sawmill Branch Phase 5, application 5865. I have declared a conflict on this one because of my association with the CDD at Palm Coast Park, so, and filed the paperwork with Irene. So, Ms. Shank, meeting's all yours.
Okay, thank you. So, Estelle, please.
Hi, Ms. Vice Chair and members of the board. Ray, did you want to introduce this?
No, go
ahead. Mr. Tyner. Okay, Estelle Planning with the Planning Division. This is the subdivision master plan for Sawmill Branch Phase 5. You've seen, this is the last phase, actually, in the Sawmill Branch community. We've done 2, 3, 4, 6, and 7 also they're in various stages, but they've all come to this board. So this is the last phase in the Sawmill Branch community. This phase consists of 131.65 acres. They are proposing 275 single-family residential lots. Phase 5 is actually combined with Phases 3 and 4. When Phase 3 came to this board, it included the future Phases 4 and 5 because they have to build the spine road with Phase 3 that's going to connect all the way north through Phase 5 and between Phases 6 and 7. So. This is the Sawmill Branch community. Phases 2A and 2B, 2A will have the amenity center, which is going to be shared between phases 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And this slide also shows the spine road that's going to be built. This project is part of the Palm Coast Park. Palm Coast Park is a development of regional impact, a DRI, and also a master plan development. The DRI was originally approved in December of 2004. The Ninth Amendment to the DRI was approved by City Council in May of last year. The master plan development agreement was originally approved in October of 2011 and was approved, the Fifth Amendment was approved by City Council last May. And the Sawmill Branch community, you can see up on the slide, is outlined in blue in the northwest portion of the master plan development of Palm Coast Park. The future land use map shows the project to have a DRI mixed use and conservation land use. The project to the, or property to the east as well as to the south is also DRI mixed use and conservation. To the west across the railroad tracks is county agriculture and timberlands. To the north is also DRI mixed use and conservation. The zoning map shows the project to be MPD, that's the Palm Coast Park Master Plan Development. The property to the east, to the south, also MPD. To the west is county agriculture. To the north is parks and greenways, and that's in the city. This project will meet the site development requirements of the Palm Coast Park Master Plan Development Agreement for low density residential, which is where this project falls. The minimum lot size is 4,000 square feet. Their smallest lot is 4,800 square feet. Minimum lot width is 40. That's what they're providing. The maximum impervious surface ratio is 75%. They're at 24.7%. The maximum gross density is 6 units per acre. They're at 3.44 units per acre. The maximum building height is 35 feet. They'll meet each house will have to meet the setbacks of 10 feet off the front, 5 off the side, 10 off the rear, 24 garages. And the only landscape buffer requirement would be 10 feet along the spine road, the southern boundary of this project. And they're providing like a 65-foot wide natural tree preservation area along the southern boundary. And there's large conservation areas both on the east and west of the platted lots. This is the subdivision master plan for the project, and again, it's 275 lots. They are preserving 51.82 acres of wetlands and upland conservation. They're going to provide minimal recreation on this site. They'll provide a gazebo and have benches for the residents, but they are sharing the amenity center, very large amenity center in phase 2, and the sidewalks all connect out to the 10-foot-wide pedestrian linear park trail along US 1. The next slides will be the 5 review criteria from Section 2.05.05 of the Land Development Code that must be met for all development orders. A must not be in conflict with the public interest. This criteria is met as the project will meet all applicable development standards within the Unified Land Development Code, the Palm Coast Park DRI, and the Palm Coast Park MPD.
B, must be consistent with the Land Development Code and Comprehensive Plan. The staff report identifies 6 goals, policies, and objectives of the Comprehensive Plan that are being met. C, must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship on the city. This criteria is met. The public
okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
C, must not impose a significant financial liability or hardship on the city. The criteria is met. The public infrastructure needed to support the project is being extended by the developer at their cost. D, must not create an unreasonable hazard or nuisance. This criteria is met. All improvements will be newly constructed and or developed in compliance with the relevant Palm Coast Park DRI, MPD, the Land Development Code, the Building Code, and other agency requirements. The traffic impact for this project, the site analysis provided by LTG Engineering and Planning determined that the development is anticipated to generate 2,593 daily trips, 193 total AM peak hour trips, and 258 total PM peak hour trips. The required turn lanes, a right and left turn lane at the intersection of Sawmill Branch Boulevard, which is the Spine Road, and US 1 are under construction. This intersection will be signalized and it will be funded by FDOT once phases 4 and 5 commence construction. And they're currently both those phases in the preliminary plat stage review now. The preliminary plats have not been approved for those yet. We're getting close. The existing westbound left turn lane at the intersection of US 1 and Matanzas Wood Parkway is expected to provide sufficient deceleration and vehicle storage. E must comply with all applicable government standards. The applicant has submitted or shall submit plans and permit applications as required to the various agencies having jurisdiction. The environmental assessment states that the project avoids impacts to the majority of the on-site wetlands.
Let's try this. Okay, and gopher tortoise was the sole state protected species located on the site. Prior to commencement of construction, the tortoises shall be humanely relocated to an FWC permitted recipient site. And the following slides will be the criteria for master plan approval. It's Land Development Code Section 2.10.04. A is logic of design. The site plan has been conceptually reviewed and found to meet the general standards of the MPD and LDC. As an example, the conceptual plan depicts the appropriate lot sizes and dimensions, the appropriate locations and capacity of stormwater and drainage facilities, the availability and location of utilities, including a lift station, and the interconnectivity of the sidewalks and roadways. B is internal consistency. The single-family homes will be reviewed by individual permit for compliance and consistency with all applicable Land Development Code requirements, including consistency with the city's architecture and landscaping codes. C, impact on neighboring sites. The common development standards within the Palm Coast Park, DRI, and MPD will allow all sites in the overall neighborhood to develop in a manner that will be complementary with each other. D, internal vehicular and pedestrian connectivity. The project will provide internal sidewalks and that will serve the pedestrians and bicyclists. As I mentioned, these sidewalks will connect through the neighboring subdivisions to the 10-foot wide pedestrian trail along the west side of US Highway 1. This project meets the access requirements of 2 access points onto a public right-of-way. E, consolidation of utilities and facilities, including stormwater, parking, signage, etc. The applicant will be responsible for the development of on-site infrastructure, including utilities, a lift station, and the location of stormwater facilities. These will be reviewed in further detail with the preliminary plat. Signage will be reviewed and approved by separate permit. However, subdivisions are allowed an entrance monument sign, which must be set back a minimum of 10 feet from the public right-of-way and be appropriately landscaped. The public benefit from the project is this project will provide alternative housing opportunities by allowing construction on smaller lots. The project will provide numerous jobs during construction, as well as long-term employment in maintenance and landscaping. It's going to provide housing within a planned community with sidewalks and the large shared amenity center. And the additional rooftops will encourage commercial services in North Palm Coast. In summary, after review and evaluation of the proposed project for conformance with the requirements of the Palm Coast Park DRI, MPD, and the Land Development Code, the comprehensive plan, staff finds that the proposed subdivision master plan complies with all such requirements. Planning staff wants to emphasize that this is only conceptual approval of the overall project and that technical requirements relating to environmental engineering standards, stormwater drainage, utility infrastructure, and other site-specific considerations will be further reviewed and addressed during the preliminary plat approval process in accordance with the city's land development code and other applicable regulations. And the next steps would be the preliminary plat, which would be submitted with the construction plans. Those receive administrative approval. Following that would be the final plat that requires City Council approval. And staff recommends that the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board find the project in compliance with the comprehensive plan, the Land Development Code, and the Palm Coast Park MPD, and approve the subdivision master plan for Sawmill Branch Phase 5, application 5865, subject to the conditions provided in the staff report. So the motion could end there, but I will go over all the conditions that are included in the staff report. The preliminary plat for Phase 5 will be a replat of the future track of, I believe it's tracked you now, on the Phase 3 preliminary plat, the Sawmill Branch Phase 3 plat. For recreation, the following note must appear on the plat for Phase 5, and the note will read, the recreation facilities for active and passive recreation are being shared between Sawmill Branch Phases 2A, 2B, 3, 4, 5, and 6. All residents in these phases shall share the amenity center being constructed at Sawmill Branch Phase 2A, Sawmill Landing Amenity Center. And the staff report also said that the applicant has to provide a letter from the HOA president assuring that the amenity center will be shared among all the residents. We just didn't want residents to get to this community and suddenly not have access to the large amenity center on Phase 2A to meet the level of service for recreation. So we have received that letter, the assurance from the president of the HOA. Three, the developer will work with the school board regarding the location of a school bus stop. Four, school concurrency will be determined at the next stage of the subdivision process, which will be the submittal of a preliminary plat and construction plans. Five, the environmental assessment stated that gopher tortoises were located on the site. A survey and subsequent relocation of any gopher tortoise burrows within 25 feet of construction will be required. Once this is complete, an after-action report will be required to be submitted before any clearing or development per Land Development Code 10.04.04. Six, there is flood zone A on the property. The base flood elevation must be established by an engineer and then submitted to FEMA with city endorsement to support a letter of map change, when they refer to LOMAR, per section 10.02.07A and 10.02.07D of the Land Development Code. Seven, the approved either CLOMAR or LOMAR from FEMA must be submitted to staff before a site development permit will be issued. Eight, all lots must be removed from the floodplain prior to issuance of a final plat. And nine, this traffic has been repeated in previous phases. The traffic requirement for approval for Phase 5 is the same as for Phase 3 and 4, in which the Sawmill Branch Boulevard, the Spine Road, must be constructed to and connected to US 1. This is and will be a requirement on the DO until the road is constructed and open for traffic. And the applicant is in attendance and available for questions.
Is Adam Ostman with the Land Engineering here to answer any questions you might have?
I have a question for staff. Regarding the sidewalks that will be provided, I think with the current issue that we see with the e-bikes, how will we address this? Because this particular phase, well, actually Sawmill Branch, the majority of it, is for families. So access to that amenity center is quite a distance away from phase five. So how will we update, if there's an update to our land development code, because we talked about it in a comp plan update, addressing the issue with e-bikes. So if there's an update to the land development code, do we need to have a condition in there as well that if they, whatever update is done, that they would need to meet that update for e-bikes? Maybe it's going to require a wider sidewalk or a separate sidewalk, because that's a growing issue.
Currently, the code requires a 5-foot sidewalk, which they're meeting, but perhaps Mr. Tyner can...
Yeah, so, yeah, you a great memory on our comp plan. You're absolutely right. We are tasked to do a study on e-bikes, and I think that was really... And then once we do the study, then we're going to go back and look at our land development code to make revisions. I think, you know, I could talk about my subdivision, right? I think your private subdivisions are a little bit different scenario than our public trail system. You know, I think when we do our study, I think you, as far as the city on our sidewalks and the public areas and the public amenities that we have for the public, that is on one side, and then you have the private kind of subdivisions on the other side, because I know our development has their own rules and regulations when it comes to e-bikes as well. But I don't think we need to make a specific recommendation at this time on or condition, because it's not in the land development code at this time. I think they would... Their association may regulate it themselves for their private amenities to allow to have e-bikes, but I don't think we need a special condition at this time.
But I think, can you bring up the special conditions, Estelle? Because one of them may kind of encompass it.
Yeah.
The next one would, the next one.
Might have been on the first page regarding recreation and connectivity to
yes,
the trail.
That's probably it.
No, I don't think that was in the condition, but I did mention that they would connect to the trail on US 1, and that's a 10-foot wide. But
maybe if we just put under number 2, recreation, where you're spelling that out, somehow include, you know, in compliance with any, with the land development code as it exists at the time the development order is being issued, because we may have it updated at that point, so that this approval, they won't be grandfathered in if we have an update at some point in time that requires the sidewalk to go from 5 feet to say 10 feet, 8 feet to accommodate e-bikes. So then we won't be faced with, well, you guys approved it in 2024. We're now at 2026,
yeah,
and we've updated the land development code.
And maybe I think it would be appropriate, and Jeremiah may want to chime in here, but I think if you had it as part of this condition, it would be prior to the submittal of a preliminary plat, because the next step, right, of the application process is where they rely on our existing code. They have to do all the engineering and the design, the type of sidewalk and that type of thing. So they spent, you know, they're relying on what the code is existing now before the preliminary plat. So I wouldn't do it past this process. So if they submit a preliminary plat and the code hasn't changed, then they need to rely on what the existing code is. Does that make sense?
And I agree with that. If I can be recognized by the chair, I agree with that. Sometimes you're going to run into these issues where
the city or local government is in the midst of making changes to the land development code. It happens every 10 years or so, 15 years. But you have applications that are still coming in. So it's kind of like when you went to college and had the student handbook and they were always updating it, but you were kind of grandfathered in to next semester. So the application they've submitted is going to rely on what is currently the law, what is currently the land development. And in future, if there's a future application after a change, then we'll rely on that change. Does that make sense?
Yes, it's just kind of concerning because it's a life safety issue. And that is a family community. And I would just hate to see us, you know, have an incident occur there related to an e-bike and we lose another young life older life.
No, I understand. I'll address my comments. Now, there's nothing stopping. I'm not going to address the applicant, but I'll address y'all. There's nothing stopping the applicant for y'all making a request or for them to look into this, and they can certainly go above and beyond. We can't pressure them to do that, I don't think, in this setting, but I think y'all can ask and make your concerns known, and then they can, decide whether they want to act on that or not.
Well, I would like to ask. I would like to ask that serious consideration would be given to that because, you know, somewhere down the road, this is a matter of public record, and the issue is being brought up here today. And so if something were to occur 5-10 years, say, down the road, this is an issue that has already been mentioned. So I know you don't have the power to make that decision, but I would ask that you take it back to your client.
I will, definitely. I just wanted to just briefly touch on it because so the subdivision phase 5 in itself, that one has a 5-foot sidewalk, but we do have along the Spine Road that has an 8-foot trail along it all the way to the amenity center. So if you talk about access to the amenity center, it does have a wider path going there too. Just wanted to mention that. I know that's not your concern, but I just wanted to mention that.
Do you know sometimes how you see on the road and there have a little bit of wider space for bicyclists only? Maybe in the design of the 8-foot wide trail, there could be a space that's allocated specifically for e-bikes to ride on. Somehow we have to protect people who are not riding e-bikes as well as the e-bike riders.
Yep.
Thank you. I have no further comments. Oh! Okay, Mr. Whitson.
I have a quick question. Speaking of timing, do you have any updates on what the timing is anticipated for this development to go forward?
You're talking about phase 5 specifically?
Yes, sir, on phase 5.
So the next step will be a preliminary plat, which will likely be submitted in October. So we're probably looking early next year for approvals, likely.
Okay, so maybe construction in late 25 or early 26?
It depends on how it all falls into place. Right. But likely, probably mid-25, I would say, just based on
If everything gut feeling. Smooth, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for the applicant or for staff? Seeing none, thank you. We'll open it up for public comment. Any members of the public would like to speak on this application, please approach, state your name.
Jared Trueheart, 3 Zephyr Lily Trail. I have a question for you. When it says nearly 2,600 daily trips, what does that tell you?
Okay, we'll take your question and staff or the applicant will respond.
I mean, for you all who vote on it, what does that tell you?
Madam, what is
the context of that number? How do you understand it?
Yes.
Madam Chair, if I can respond.
Yes.
So in public comment, questions should not be directed to the board. If the gentleman has a question specific, we can direct that too, but this is not the time for questions. This is for public comment.
Okay. So if you would like to make a comment.
Rephrase my last question as a comment.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Tyner, Estelle, or the applicant, Would you like to respond to the comment?
Let me talk a little bit just about the DRI process. This is part of development of regional impact, and it was approved when, Estelle, 2004?
Yes.
So part of the development of regional impact, an application process, the reason it's called a regional impact is because in build-out, which is a 20-year plan plus, they assess all the transportation and all the trips of what that project would be a build-out when this application was initially submitted. It was reviewed by the Florida Department of Transportation. It was reviewed by the City of Palm Coast. It was reviewed by Flagler County. It was reviewed by all the agencies, the state of Florida. So what it comes down to is that, to make it real simple, is that this specific project that you see on your screen is called a development of regional impact. All of the mitigation or the future impacts that would be caused by this site was what they call proportionate fair shared, as agreed by the agencies in the City of Palm Coast. And there was a big pot of money that was allocated to certain roadways already. And I can't remember the exact amount of what the Palm Coast Park DRI contributed, but I know they helped expand Belterre Parkway for the widening of Belterre Parkway. And not only that, but we're still continuing to get impact fees from every development that is being constructed in Palm Coast Park that goes into a pot to help improve the roadway system in Palm Coast as a whole. As you know, through the comp plan process, the city roads are assessed a certain level of service. And all of the roads in the City of Palm Coast are assessed at level C. The traffic analysis have shown that the level C still remains, that there are no negative impacts with the site. And even if there was, they are exempt because they already paid their proportionate fair share of what the total impacts would be at build out. Hopefully that answers your question on this specific project.
Thank you. We'll return to the board. Are there any questions? Okay, we've closed public comment. No questions from the board. We will entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion. The PLDRB finds the project in compliance with the comprehensive plan, the land development code, and the Palm Coast Park MPD, and approve the subdivision master plan for Sawmill Branch Phase 5, application number 5865, subject to the conditions provided in the staff report and as follows. The preliminary plat for Phase 5 will be a replat of future track to be determined of the Sawmill Branch Phase 3 plat. Number 2, recreation. The following note must appear on the plat for Phase 5. The recreation facilities for active and passive recreation are being shared between Sawmill Branch Phases 2A, 2B, 3, 4, 5, and 6. All residents in these phases shall share the amenity center being constructed at Sawmill Branch Phase 2A, Sawmill Landing Amenity Center. Number 3, developer will work with the school board regarding the location of a school bus stop. Number 4, school concurrency will be determined at the next stage of the subdivision process, which will be the submittal of a preliminary plat and construction plans. Number 5, the environmental assessment stated gopher tortoises were located on site. A survey and subsequent relocation of any gopher tortoise burrows within 25 feet of construction will be required once this is complete an after-action report will be required to be submitted before any clearing or development per 10.04.04 of the Land Development Code. Number six, there is flood zone A on the property. The base flood elevation must be established by an engineer and then submitted to FEMA with city endorsement to support a letter of map change, LOMR, per 10.02.07.A and 10.02.07.D. Number seven, the approved either CLOMR or LOMR from FEMA must be submitted to staff before a site development permit will be issued. Number eight, all lots must be removed from the floodplain prior to issuance of final plat. Number nine, the traffic requirement for approval for Phase 5 is the same as for Phase 3 and 4, in which the Sawmill Branch Boulevard, Spine Road, must be constructed to and connected to US 1. This is and will be a requirement on the DO until the road is constructed and open for traffic. And that is the end of the motion.
Excellent. Do we have a second?
Thank you.
I'll second.
Yeah.
Thank you. Irene, roll call, please.
Mr. Hilton.
Yes.
Mr. Lemon.
Yes.
Ms. Nicholson.
Yes.
Mr. Ferguson.
Yes.
Mr. Albano.
Yes.
Ms. Shank.
Yes.
Motion carries 6-0.
Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Ms. Shank.
You're welcome.
Well, that's the end of our agenda. This is the, I know three of you got reappointed for another term. This is the end of my second term tonight, so this is my last meeting. I will miss you guys, but thank you for serving alongside, and thank you for your confidence in me. I wish you all good luck. Is there anything else, Mr. Tyner?
Yeah, I'm sure going to miss you. And I sincerely thank you so much for your dedication to the city of Palm Coast. You know, it's not easy. And I think you've been here how many years, Clint?
Eight.
8 years. It's unbelievable. You know, it's not an easy job. You're a volunteer. I am so impressed, not just with you, but with this entire board, that the dedication that each of you have and maintaining the vision of the city of Palm Coast and adhering to the comprehensive plan in the land development code in an unbiased nature, you know, looking at the facts as they come to you. It doesn't matter how many people are in this room yelling against a project or for a project, you follow that land development code unbiasedly. And I really appreciate it. It is not easy. I appreciate your work that you have done on, you know, the land development code in the past and our recent work on the comprehensive plan. And I know our staff is really going to miss you. And I wish you the best of luck. And from the bottom of my heart, I thank you so much for your making the city a better place. It's not
thank
easy.
You. I enjoyed it. It was you know, a lot of fun being on here. So you guys that have four more years, God bless you.
Yeah.
And Ms. Shank,
I know you wish for it, right?
Always change.
Thank you. Good luck to you. I hope you make it on the council. That'd be great.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your leadership as chair of the PLDRB. It's been a tremendous blessing. And it's been an honor to serve as vice chair with you.
Thank you. Is there anything else?
Did you close this puppy up?
All right. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll make that motion.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, no. We're adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you, Clint.